I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
What a privilege to be inducted into this brotherhood, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, with all of you.
Football carved out a place for my favorite quarterback, my hero, my role model, my dad, Archie Manning, to pass on something he loved to me.
Great weekend of Hall of Fame inductions, 2 years worth, a lot of speeches. If you watched all of them, if you got through all two nights of speeches, kudos to you, because it was a lot of talking, but some really neat moments as well. It's the Barton Hahn Show here on ESPN Radio. I'm Matt Jones, Joe Fortenbaugh with me. We are filling in, presented by Progressive Insurance, and callers are on the Goodyear Hotline. You can get us 888-SAY-ESPN. We're going to take a couple calls here in just a minute. But before we get to the Hall of Fame and the calls, Joe, let's start with ESPN's FPI has made their full projections for this 2021 NFL season. And there's a lot of interesting stuff on here. We'll start with the Super Bowl. They have the Chiefs with a 19% chance to win the Super Bowl. Tampa Bay, 15. Buffalo, interestingly enough, comes in third at 9. Green Bay, Baltimore, San Francisco at 6. And then Cleveland, the Rams, and Seattle at 5%. Couple things stand out to me. Buffalo, even at 9%, I understand, but that's probably, I'm not sure I would have immediately thought of them as the number three team. And then I kind of like down there at 5%, the Rams. Seems like something, if I could bet on it, I might. I like the Rams maybe being a little higher than that. What sticks out to you?
Right there as well, because I've got the Rams as the favorite in the NFC West, and I'm surprised the Niners are there, given the fact that there's, let's say, maybe a shroud of uncertainty regarding who's going to be the starting quarterback. It looks like it's going to be Jimmy Garoppolo. He's more than capable of going to Detroit in week one as a 7-point favorite, not only winning that game, but covering that spread. But at what point do they turn to Trey Lance? And if they do, is Lance going to be able to deliver on everything they think can happen? Meanwhile, you take a team in the Rams that you can shop around and find 16-1 maybe to win the Super Bowl, 18-1. Matthew Stafford sitting there at 20-1 to win the MVP. How are those bets you aren't intrigued by? The Rams were number one in total defense, number one in scoring defense last year. They've got great weapons. They've got incredible coaching in Sean McVay, who's got an amazing road record. And when you're trying to suss out which teams are legit and which aren't, look at the ones that can perform on the road year in and year out. Matthew Stafford's going to take that team to a whole nother level. The fact that FPI doesn't have them as the favorite to win the division, the fact that FPI doesn't have them in the top five favorites to win the Super Bowl surprises me, outside of the fact that it is going to be a very challenging division with all four teams making a claim.
Don't you feel like the Stafford Rams thing still doesn't get enough attention in terms of actual contenders? I had a conversation a couple weeks ago with a former staff member for the Rams, Liam Cohen, who's now the offensive coordinator for the University of Kentucky, and he just smiled and said, just watch the Rams this year. Because I think there's a sense around the Rams facility, they're not going to say this explicitly, but they just upgraded at quarterback majorly. If you talk to people that are around there, they believe this is a potential for an exponential leap with that quarterback play. And if so, then they're right there as a contender.
Agreed. What I think people realize is that Stafford is legit. What I think they don't realize is how bad Jared Goff is.
Exactly, exactly.
That's the issue. I think a lot of people see that Goff had success in L.A., and he's a pretty good quarterback, and Stafford's maybe a little bit better than a pretty good quarterback, so it's not that much of a change. Hogwash, that is a huge change. Bet under 5 wins for the Lions this year with their season win total. Good luck finding 6. I've got them underdogs in all 17 games, and the only games where they're within 3 points of a dog are the 2 games early in the season where they host Cincinnati and Philadelphia. Outside of that, they could get railroaded this year. Jared Goff cannot process information as fast as you need to when you're starting NFL quarterback.
Well, that's kind way of putting it. But exactly. if you talk to those folks, they will say that they weren't even able, even in the good year, to do what they want to do on offense because of his abilities. I think you're going to see a I think you're going to see a wide open offense. I love Stafford 20-1 MVP. Don't you?
I do, because the narrative is fantastic. And a lot of this is narrative driven, right? You need people to talk about you. You need there to be a great story as to why we should get behind you. And with Stafford struggling all those years with a horrible organization, I mean, look at the Hall of Fame this weekend, right? Calvin Johnson, not one, but two of the legendary Detroit Lions class who just quit football with plenty left in the tank because it was so brutal playing for those guys, yeah. Right? Stafford's going to get out of Detroit. He's going to shine in L.A. There's going to be a narrative. They're going to win a lot of games this season. They're going to win a lot of games. The other thing that caught my eye was that Dallas is the favorite to win the NFC East. I think people are sleeping on Washington. I really do. Washington brings one of the best defenses in the NFL to the table. They might have the best coaching in the division with Ron Rivera. People are going to sleep on the Ryan Fitzpatrick acquisition. Fitzpatrick is a capable quarterback. That's the most important thing when you've got a great defense and plenty of weapons. Capable quarterback. And if you doubt it, take a look at Miami last year. Take a look at how they performed with Fitzpatrick at quarterback, and then what happened when they went to Tua. Tua was a disaster. He even admits he didn't know the playbook as well as he should have. Maybe that changes this year, but I think Fitzpatrick takes the Washington football team to a new level as well this year. That should be your favorite in the NFC East.
And they were good. And they were good with, like, you and I playing quarterback at times. So, I mean, it's obviously going to be an upgrade. So I like it too. Cowboys at 45% seems high. I am all in on being anti-Cowboys this year. I think it has the potential to be a very bad year throughout. Now, we got some folks on the phone who may disagree with me. Dwayne is in Dallas with Dak. Are you worried? And do you agree with me that you guys are amazingly overrated this year? Dwayne. All right. Dwayne's so nervous about it, he can't even speak. So we'll go to Nate, who's in Atlantic City. See if Nate's better.
Hey, guys, what's up?
What's up?
Thank you for having me on the show. So, about the Cowboys, personally, I'm not worried about Dak. I'm not worried about our defense. I'm actually worried about the offensive line. Last year, it was disastrous. Everything went wrong. I'm worried about them. And this is, to me, this is a make-or-break year for Zeke Elliott. He's got a lot of tread on those wheels, and he has to do something big. And I forget which one of you guys said it, but I'm also not a fan of Mike McCarthy. He's bad with, decisions and crunch time. His game clock management is terrible. Why do you think Aaron Rodgers wanted him out of there?
I think it's a great point. And Joe, I like what he said about Zeke. I appreciate the call. You know, running backs in the NFL, the shelf life is so small. And with Zeke, there is a lot of tread, even in the amount of years he has. I don't know if it's make or break. I just think you only get so many good years out of guys like him, and this has got to be one of them. And with that offensive line, you wonder if it's going to happen.
That's as reasonable a Cowboys fan as I've ever come across.
I know.
Life.
It's like I was hoping he would say something ridiculous, right, and he ended up actually being reasonable.
I was like, look at all these well-organized thoughts that are laid out in concise order. Are you really a Cowboys fan? Are you masquerading? No. The McCarthy stuff, obviously, were documented in what we said on that earlier. Elliott's in a very interesting situation because they're paying him a ton of money. And when you have that much money in the salary cap tied into a position like running back, when some other teams are getting far more in exchange for giving up far less, you got to get some production there. Now, by all accounts, Elliott's in great shape this year, and that was something that was a concern last season. So we can give him the benefit of the doubt. But he put up huge numbers when he was running behind the most elite offensive line in the business. That's not the case anymore. There have been some retirements, some injuries, some natural progression with age. Dallas isn't going to have a terrible offensive line, but it's not what Zeke was running behind at the beginning of his career. So that's something to keep an eye on as well. I am surprised so many Cowboy fans aren't as worried about the defense. I know they drafted Parsons and they spent a ton of draft picks on that side of the ball, but that doesn't mean it's going to solve the problems overnight. The switch at defensive coordinator is probably the key, because last year under Nolan, they were just a dumpster fire on a weekly basis. That game against Cleveland was just disgraceful.
They were embarrassing, especially as the year went on. Now, back to the ESPN FPI for a second. The NFC West, which to me in some ways is the most open division, it's really odd to me. They've got the 49ers at 33%, the Rams at 29%, Seahawks 28, Cardinals 9. I'm always a big believer when you bet these things, and I know those percentages are not just gambling odds, but when you bet these things, the only way to lose money gambling is to try to cover yourself for everything. You've got to make calls and you've got to go with them. And if they don't work, they don't work. I'm all in on the Rams. I'm in on the Rams as a dark horse Super Bowl pick. I'm in on the Rams to win the division. And 28%, just a little better than 1-4. To me, you play this division out many times, you're going to get more than 28% of the time where the Rams win. So if you're like me and you like Stafford as a dark horse MVP, don't you have to like the Rams as a potential division winner?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The biggest threat is going to be the 49ers because they're going to come back strong. If you look at the injury luck last year that they sustained, it gives you reason to believe in the curse of the Super Bowl hangover because they lost everybody on the defensive side of the ball. They lost Bosa early in the season. Garoppolo on the offensive side goes down. They battled injuries and just misfortune throughout the course of the year. They've got a very favorable schedule this year. Some think it's one of the five easiest in the NFL. They're going to be deep at quarterback with Garoppolo and Lance. They're set on the O-line, bringing back Trent Williams. This is going to be the most underrated pass-catching unit in the NFL. Mark my words. You know about George Kittle.
I want to go back to the schedule for a second. You and I talk a lot on the weekend show about college football and what a different schedule means. I mean, schedule really is the difference between believing in a team and not a lot of years. In the NFL, I always hear schedule brought up, but because teams are so different in terms of what of expectation and you get so many surprise teams and disappointment, do you think schedule before the season starts is as big a deal as it's not as big a deal as in college, but how much attention as a gambler do you pay to schedule?
Plenty, but I think you need to look at it the correct way. I think the mistake a lot of people make is they look at a schedule for a team going into the season. Let's use the Niners. And they'll just look at all the teams that are on the schedule, and then they'll look at those teams' records from last season.
Yes.
And that's what they'll use as the determining factor. You can't do that. You can't come out and say something like, well, Green Bay won, 13 games last year? Well, if Rodgers wasn't with them, what would that matter, right? I would take the team's Vegas win totals, and I would put that next to them to evaluate, because at least that's a projection from experts as to how good a team should or should not be. It's not perfect, but I think it's a better guide. The other thing I look for in schedules is twofold. Number one, the bye week. The Niners have the bye week in week 6. That's a good week. You don't want your bye week in week 13 or 14 like some teams have. That's too late in the year to regroup. And then I also look for scheduling spots. So are you going to have to play back-to-back on the road? How many teams do you face that are coming off a bye? Right? Are you going to play
Thursday night road games? No,
exactly.
Nothing is worse than Thursday night road games.
Exactly. Situational analysis is the most important thing I'll look at when breaking down the schedule. And then instead of looking at a team and what their record was last year, I would take a team and I'd look at their win total for this year. For example, the Niners are going to host Minnesota in week 12. Now, if you look at Minnesota last year, they stunk. This year, it's going to be very, very different. They rearmed that defense. The head coach, Mike Zimmer, came out last year and said that was the worst defense he's coached in all his years in the NFL. Matt, he's been coaching defense since like 93. That says something. So they go out and they sign Patrick Peterson, Dalvin Tomlinson, Mackenzie Alexander, and others. The defense is going to be better. The home field advantage is going to help with fans in the dome. Minnesota's a team that you can't look at their record from last year and project it to this season. You got to look at the win total and see what they've added, because it's a tougher game based on what you're going to see this year versus last year.
Barton Hahn show here on ESPN Radio. Matt Jones, Joe Fortenbaugh. You hit a key point there. Home field advantage, which was almost non-existent last year, will become, for the teams where it matters, it will become a much bigger deal this year. Don is in Dallas, and he is more concerned about Dak Prescott than some other Cowboys fans. Why?
Because, you know, when Zeke was suspended, at the box, he barely beat that. And then when Zeke came back, they still kept stacking the box, and he couldn't still do anything with the receivers we had. And he's missing a lot of time with his receivers. And we had a bunch of one-possession games, one-score games where we won or lost. And you can't win the games like that playing 50% ball. And he played from behind a lot, so that's where all his yards came from. So he do need his rapport with his guys. And one last thing, I'm not concerned about the coach, because he didn't have an offseason. Man, if he screws up this year, then I'll be more concerned about that next year.
Well, I think those are, you make some key points there, Don. I appreciate it. We still, this is not going to be, Joe, like last year when it comes to COVID and the fact you didn't get an offseason. But it still is not. It still wasn't normal for a lot of these guys. And when you have people who, for whatever reason, you feel like really needed to get work in, it's still not what it would be in a normal year. Now, whether or not you think Dak needs that or not is a different conversation, but I do think that's important when you're looking at rookies, et cetera. It's still not like it was 2 years ago in terms of what these guys get going into the season.
I think it's a fair point, but to counter that, I'd look at the Cleveland Browns. They hadn't been to the playoffs in God knows how long. Kevin Stefanski had never been a head coach at the NFL level in his life, and he came in under the same circumstances as Mike McCarthy, and he found a way to get a hell of a season out of the Browns to the point where they were on the
verge. But you had a lot of experienced players there. You had a lot of guys who maybe they hadn't been there, but it had success somewhere.
Sure, but the Cowboys, you could say the same thing. Prescott had been around a while prior to the injury. Zeke had been around. Amari Cooper had been around. The O-line, some guys on defense. McCarthy came in and had been a head coach before. He should know what needs to be done, and that team, even with Prescott, went 2-3 to open the season and should not have beaten the Falcons. They were not in good shape last year.
You're such a hater when it comes to Mike McCarthy. I think it might be deserved, but he's not getting a you're not getting a Christmas card from him. This Barton Hahn is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear is more driven. The Hall of Fame inductions were this weekend. Peyton Manning, course, was the big headliner, but you had a lot of really interesting speeches. My favorite might have been Isaac Bruce, who still holds a grudge from his draft day. I always like when people hold a grudge. Here's what he had to say.
To the nameless voice that called me 2 weeks before the draft in 1994 to let me know that the NFL wasn't checking for me. They didn't like me. They like more of NFL legend Bertie Manuel and Ryan Yabarov. I know you're alive. I know you're listening. I pray God keep you alive for this day. So my message to you is rap legend Kool Moe Dee wanted me to ask you how you like me now.
Wow. I mean, it's one thing to hold on to a grudge. It's another thing to hold on to it for like 18 years. And why does he have to throw poor Bart Emanuel and Ryan Yamara or whatever? Why does he have to throw them under the bus? I mean, I do like when somebody hangs on to something, but isn't that a little much, Joe?
Yeah, on one hand, there's a conversation about forgiveness that could be had there and whether or not it can help you in your life. On the other hand, though, we talk about motivation. You know, Tom Brady, you don't think he still carries the chip from being a sixth-round draft pick? There's a reason Isaac Bruce was able to produce at a high level for a 16-year, now NFL Hall of Fame career, and it's stuff like that that drives these guys. You know, think about what it's like as just an average schmuck like myself, right? If I try to lose 10 pounds, the amount of work that goes into trying to motivate myself to do a little exercise, to try to motivate myself to eat a little less, I cave. To produce at this level, to go outside early in the morning, to run hills, to lift weights, to study the playbook, to work with your quarterback when you don't need to work with your quarterback. You got the money. You could be on vacation in the islands. To do that stuff,
I understand all
drive.
That, but you called the dudes out. Like, poor Bert Emanuel. Like, he's sitting at home. He's probably, you know, he's just hanging out, and he's like, you know, White Lotus episode 5 is this weekend. I can't wait to watch that. And the next thing you know, he is getting called. Like, what do you got to do that to poor Bert Emanuel for? I just felt like that was a little rude to just be picking random dudes out and throwing them under the bus.
It's kind of like Durant and Draymond going after Kendrick Perkins.
Yeah, but at least Kendrick Perkins throws himself in the mix. I mean, I don't even know what Bert Emanuel's doing. He may be just hanging out with his family. Isaac Bruce, that was just a little much for me. What did you think about Tom Brady, by the way, coming and watching Peyton Manning's induction? I thought that was sort of magnanimous of him.
It's class, because those two will forever be linked, and Brady knows it, and Brady recognizes it, and Brady being there gives it a lot of the credibility it deserves, because those two had some of the epic wars in the AFC. I mean, the AFC went through those two and Roethlisberger, essentially, with Joe Flacco sliding in 1 year. They owned the AFC. Think about how loaded the Chargers were with LaDainian Tomlinson and Lorenzo Neal and Drew Brees into Phillip Rivers and Antonio Gates and Vincent Jackson and Sean Merriman and all those players. The Chargers could never sniff sniff it. They had one shot at an AFC championship, and they were so banged up they couldn't get by New England. Those guys controlled the conference for years. It was one of the all-time great rivalries, right? That's why we're going to need to see Durant and LeBron go head-to-head in an NBA Finals at some point, because we got Brady versus Manning in the conference championship game for how many years? Great needs to go against great. Iron needs to sharpen iron, and the people want to see it.
Well, you're going to get it this year. Those two teams are going to be so much better than everybody else. I think you're going to get it. But I have to tell you, I enjoy looking at the Hall of Fame. This also was the best sort of best group of Hall of Fame busts I've seen, because they put people's real hair. Like, were like, you know what? If your hair was crazy, we're going to make it on here like that. And I actually thought they looked awesome. Kudos to whoever it is that does that, because I think it was the best that I've ever seen. You know, DoorDash is here. I bet you knew that. And it is the summer of Dash Pass. Right now, Dash Pass members are taking $10 off groceries, alcohol, pet food, and more. Do you need a nightcap like Joe gets every night? $10 off. You got a cough? We'll get relief delivered for less. And if you want to surprise your crush, we'll send a gift and save. Try Dash Pass for free and get special savings, exclusive menu items, and $0 delivery fees year-round. Get more from your neighborhood now with Dash Pass in the DoorDash app, and stay cool out there. Terms and conditions apply. See, that's why I like DoorDash. They remind you also to stay cool. Not everybody does that. Over the weekend, the world of college football lost one of the all-time greats, maybe my favorite college football coach. We'll talk about it next here on Barton Hawk.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Bart and Han.
Not sure if there is a bigger legend in college football than Bobby Bowden. Passed away this weekend, 91 years old. It's the Bart and Han Show. Matt Jones, Joe Fortenbaugh. We are presented by Progressive Insurance and callers on the Goodyear Hotline. When I was a kid, Joe, Bobby Bowden was it for me when it came to football. My local team, Kentucky, wasn't very good, so I sort of adopted Florida State, and they had so many. For years, they were always in it, lost a lot painfully at the end. But Bowden always seemed like a guy you just want to hang out with. And then when you hear his players talk about him, he was always a wonderful man. And we're going to deal with him and talk about him on today's Audio Files.
The audio file.
Warrick Dunn, one of Bobby Bowden's legendary players, says Bowden had a huge influence on his life.
At the time of my life, when I just lost my mom and I was still searching, for someone that I could lean on. And he was that individual that really he just took me in. And, you know, he challenged me to be the best player, but also to become a better man. And just the lessons over the years, the conversations that we had about life, family issues, what he did with his kids, and how can I help my family, my brothers and sisters while I was at Florida State. You know, those are priceless moments that I would never forget, that I cherish. You know, he was just someone that was very special to me.
You know, Joe, you hear that with all of these players. They all talk about him, not even for his football mind, but for what he was as a person and in molding young men.
the winning and the record speaks for itself, but that's ultimately Bowden's legacy. What he did for these young players who came to him, who were underneath him, and the way he molded them into not just potentially professional athletes, but into men. Warrick Dunn is one of the all-time great NFL players, both on and off the field. What he has done for the community, the houses he has built for underprivileged individuals who are in need of help, speaks volumes to his character and the character that was developed, in part at least, under Bobby Bowden. Then, oh, by the way, from 1987 to 2000, 14 straight seasons with 10 or more wins and a bowl record during that stretch of 11-3, Bowden was an absolute beast.
That's an amazing 14 straight 10 or more wins. I mean, that is an unbelievable accomplishment, and at a program that in many ways he sort of was creating. You know, I mean,
Without question, it
existed before him, but he is the one that made that a power. At the same time, of course, for people during that period, that Miami was a power, and having those two schools down the road from each other, it was just a constant. Those battles between those games, the way Alabama LSU is now, that's what back in the day, Joe, Miami Florida State was.
And it's not just that. That was a conference game. He still had to play Florida out of the SEC at the end of the season, which there was no obligation to play that game. That wasn't a conference game. You didn't have to play it. And that was in the height of the old ball coach, Steve Spurrier, who was able to best him that one time, I believe it was in 96, in the rematch in the Sugar Bowl in order to win his national championship at Florida. I mean, Miami was always on the schedule, but dealing with Florida as well at the end of the year, that's got to be tough after navigating the ACC.
Oh, they did have, what is it, wide right happen to them a couple times. Those words are still difficult down there. Now, Jimbo Fisher, of course, took over for Bobby Bowden, and he says you can't imagine the pressure of taking over for a legend.
The legacy of what you had and what the expectations were for him being there. I mean, 34 straight bowl games. I mean, they went 14 years in the top five. No one had ever done that. 14 10-win seasons in a row, and that's when you're only playing 12 games with a bowl game. I mean, no one had ever done that. And so the expectations were high. The pressure was high. But like Coach Bowden said, and I always remember him saying this, hey, buddy, if you're doing things the right way, pressure's not a problem. It's never a problem for you, because if you believe in yourself, and he always said that you got to believe in yourself, believe in what you're doing, and be able to get it to your people, and don't worry about the outcomes and the results, and it'll work out. God has a way of working it out, and he always used God in everything he ever did, and he was right.
I find the process of taking over for a legend in coaching fascinating, because it very, very rarely works out. I mean, very rarely works out at all. In Jimbo Fisher's case, he actually did a pretty good job, but most of the time when you do something, especially for a person that was the institution, think about Bobby Knight, think about Dean Smith, think about John Wooden, it's almost never works, and Bowden's legacy at Florida State for Jimbo was kind of like that.
How did you leave the program? I think that sums it up perfectly, and at Ohio State, we see how some of these coaches have left the program. The cupboards are stocked. The ability is there to continue competing at a high level. That's exactly what Bowden did. When he left Florida State, Jimbo Fisher was still in an excellent position to recruit, coach, and succeed at the highest possible level, and he went on to win his own national championship. Bobby Bowden took Florida State and made it what it is, and then Jimbo Fisher was able to continue that legacy because Bowden left the place dripping with talent.
I think we thought that Florida State, after Bowden, once Jimbo had won a title, that's how it was going to be. It was going to be a program like Ohio State in football, like Kentucky in basketball, that coach after coach would succeed. And then it didn't happen. Does that surprise you? I mean, since Jimbo, it's kind of been a disaster.
It did surprise me at the time, but since then, when you have the chance to reflect on Bowden's greatness and how Fisher in his own right is a tremendous coach, no, it's not that big of a surprise, because it's very difficult to maintain at that level, especially in the ACC with the rise of Clemson. Although I will say this, I think Norvell is going to have that program moving in the right direction, and I'd bet Florida State plus the 9.5 over Notre Dame in week one.
No, I like that. That's a good pick. All right, well, we'll switch gears. Baker Mayfield, of course, is on a lot of people's minds because of the Josh Allen contract extension. And Baker says, yeah, I'm worried about this year. But he also notes Josh Allen getting a lot of money is going to help every quarterback.
I'm worried about winning. I think the rest will take care of itself. You know, it's good for the quarterback position overall. I'd be lying if we said otherwise. But I'm worried about winning right now. You know, I don't know the timeline on it. You know, we haven't talked about it because I'm worried about winning this season. I'm not doing the negotiations, so quite frankly, I don't give a damn. I'm worried about winning week one, then going on to week two and focusing on that week one week at a time. And that's my mindset. So no matter how many times I get asked this question throughout the year, it's going to be the same answer because that's just the truth.
Clearly, he had spoken to his PR rep before he did those interviews. And most of the time when players talk in situations like this, I find virtually anything they say worthless. No offense to Baker. But I did find it interesting that he did throw in the clause, but hey, this will be good for every quarterback. I don't think sometimes we think about the fact that everybody likes to compare, okay, who got the biggest deal? But if you really know the way sports contracts work, especially when you're in a union situation, every time somebody gets a lot of money, it's good for all of you, and I think Baker sees that.
Yeah, when you raise the average per year value, when you raise the guaranteed money, that's the jumping off point for a quarterback who's in a similar situation. Now, if you're Cleveland, you'll point to all of the flaws Mayfield has versus Allen, and you'll say this is why Allen got that money and why you're not worthy of it, which is why for Baker, it comes down to Belichick's famous saying, do your job. That's all he's got to focus on right now is doing his job. He's got a great head coach in Kevin Stefanski who's coming off winning the Coach of the Year award and getting Cleveland back to the playoffs. He's got a stacked arsenal at his disposal, both wide receiver and running back, and he's got one of the best offensive lines in football. The table is set for him to have a monster season and to then cash in for more money than Josh Allen just got. But he's got to take matters into his own hands, and he's got to get the job done on the field. He does that this year, he'll make more money than Allen come next offseason.
One of the dirty little secrets of sports is that while fans and the media often praise a star player if they take less money to build the team and the salary cap, other star players don't like it. They actually kind of get mad at them because they go, you're bringing this down for everybody. There's been some of that over times with Tom Brady when he's done it, where they're like, well, dude, they're not going to pay me more because you're Tom Brady. And sometimes that's why players take huge amounts of money and people go, well, why don't you give a little less? It actually benefits all of the players at the star level when the top star takes the most. Doesn't necessarily benefit the average player, but it benefits the star player. Those are your audio files. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. You can visit progressive.com. We've had some folks hang on and want to talk, so let's start with Jerry, who I think believes in the Washington football team to win the NFC East.
Yes, sir. Y'all there?
I am. Why do you believe in the Washington football team?
Oh, they have the best top five head coach in Ron Rivera. Plus, if Fitzy does start throwing all them interceptions, they got a great backup in Heineke that hasn't really.
Well, I don't know about.
He had a great game.
He had one game,
but I couldn't have said it better than Joe. If you're a betting man, I'd bet on the Washington football team to win it. And you're a Reds fan, Matt, and I'm a Braves fan, so may the best team win. It's a
I don't know that national radio is really interested in the Reds-Braves series this weekend or this week, Joe. But who knows? Maybe everybody is like waiting to tune in to Reds-Braves starting Tuesday.
Two good baseball teams. The Braves are surging right now. Great shot to win the NL East. The Reds are right there. The Brewers had those struggles against the Giants over the weekend. So the door's open. The question is whether or not they can walk through it.
Ron Rivera, though, very good point about Washington in a division where I think a lot of people question the coaching. Having Rivera, I think, is a huge thing for the football team.
He's the best coach in the division. He's got the best defense in the division. He's got a smart, capable quarterback who's got a fantastic complement of wide receivers and running backs. Washington is a very good team. They're catching a point and a half at home against the Chargers and a rookie head coach in week one. The Chargers are going to come east for the early start time and lay a point and a half at Washington. Take Washington in that game. Look at what Rivera's done in week one during his time as a head coach, both in Carolina and Washington. His defense is giving up an average of just 15 points per game. He's been fantastic. Even if the offense doesn't break from the gate, the defense almost always does.
You zig, I'm zagging. I never bet week one NFL. Week one, two, and three is where you make money in college. In the NFL, there's no rhyme or reason to what happens on week one. The craziest scores all take place on week one. I stay away. Joe plays, and we'll see who's right. Barton Hahn is brought to you by My Computer Career. That's where you can get training for a better life. In the NBA, they're investigating maybe some hanky-panky with a couple of these deals. Will they do anything about it? My guess is no, but some people believe this might be different. That's next here on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Bart and Hahn.
The NBA is very upset, potentially, the Chicago Bulls and the Miami Heat about some, I don't know, maybe hanky-panky around free agency, maybe sort of making contact too early. The NBA has opened an investigation into the Kyle Lowry and Lonzo Ball signings. Bobby Marks says these teams have got to be smarter than what the Chicago Bulls have done.
I just think, hey, you got to be smarter than this, man. I mean, like, at 6 o'clock on Monday, on August 2nd, when the moratorium list, the first transaction shouldn't be a Lonzo Ball sign-and trade. I mean, come on. like, can you, like, not wait 30 minutes or 45 sure. minutes here?
Like, act
Rich
like
Paul
you
is
talked about it.
He's a terrific agent. He's a terrific agent. Like, and, like, but the first thing shouldn't be that, you know, Lonzo's with Green and a sign-and trade. Trade with Chicago. I think it's one thing for, you know, Kyle Lowry to tweet about it at 6:30. It's fine. You know, like, if he wants to do it, that's fine. But for the sign and trades, the league raises a major red flag just because there has to have been some talking beforehand.
You know, management can be difficult. It clearly has for the Bulls. And if your management stuff has turned your dream of building your own law practice into a nightmare, well, take charge with Lexicon Practice Management Software and Services. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection. Bulls may need to do that, but I sort of don't see what the big deal is, Joe, in terms of what the Bulls and the Heat do. Look, the free agency period starts at 6 o'clock. We want to hear deals at 6:01. If they agreed to it a day before, what do I care? What difference does it make? Let them do it.
For the fans, I completely agree. We want the news. We want the juice. We want the rush that comes with it. So give us the news as fast as possible. But there is a certain image they're trying to uphold, because if they let this go, then how much earlier is it going to start? And the last thing you want is for this to start and be rampant and be out in the open while the season's going on and players are trying to perform for certain teams, right? So ultimately, I don't think they're going to nix the deal. There are going to be some heavy fines handed down. But if you go back in the day, maybe 15 years ago, whenever it was, 12 years ago, the NFL's free agency period used to open at 12:01 a.m. Eastern, which is ridiculous because they weren't able to capitalize on any of the news, right? But
yes.
I remember staying up for that when I was covering the NFL, and at 12:01, I don't remember what year it was, Albert Haynesworth signed a mega deal with the Washington football team, formerly obviously of a different name. And I remember thinking, wow, to negotiate the finer points of that deal in less than a minute and then to get it out to the public, that is quite remarkable. Obviously, it's going on everywhere. Obviously, everyone's kind of skirting the rules. But even back then, the NFL, the teams had no problems announcing those deals right away as if they had just gotten done negotiating.
Yeah, but I don't care. I mean, we all know these teams are doing it in advance. They
right.
have to do in advance in many ways. And that's kind of, the NBA is very fortunate that they have two offseason, they have a regular season, and then their free agency season is better than the other sports. Let them do it, Joe. I don't understand why everybody's so worked up about it. And if they were to really punish them, I think it's a mistake.
Especially when you have players looking like they're colluding with one another at all-star games. And
of course they're colluding.
Recruiting one another. Yeah.
Or they could just call each other on the phone. We have ways
right.
of getting in touch nowadays that are not, you know, we have to meet in person. I just think it's a little bit much to get upset. These guys know what they want to do. They're going to do what they want to do. So just let them do it. Now, if you missed any portion of the show, you can download it on podcast. I hope you will, because there's a lot of good stuff there. You can always find both hours of Bart and Hahn posted daily, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Joe Fortenbaugh has been with me. I am Matt Jones. It has been wonderful. It is time for Max Kellerman next. This has been Bart and Hahn right here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.